following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. As you maybe can tell by this very tiny little nativity scene on the front of my table, we are continuing this morning in our Living as Christmas People series. So we are looking at, for the months of January and February, as we begin this new year of 2017, we're looking at what it means to live fully all year, every day, in the knowledge and the confidence of the hope, joy, peace, and love that we experience with the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. We live in a world that desperately needs us to be Christmas people, to be people of hope, people of peace, people of joy, and people of love all year round. And to embody that in everything we do every day, not just in Advent or not just in season. And we are being invited and challenged to learn what it looks like to really be, to really live as Christmas people. Our first week, we learned that living as Christmas people means living as people of praise. Men and women who, in the full knowledge of God's love for us, God's incredible redeeming love, add our voices to the chorus of praise from all creation, from the mountains and the oceans, from the forests and the deserts, from the heavens and the angels who all sing of God's glory. We are to add our praise to that beautiful melody. And when we do, it enhances the fullness of that tune. Last week, we read about the exciting and the challenging truth that we are chosen people. In Christ, we are chosen. We are chosen as God's beloved. In Christ, we are people who God has chosen to lavish grace upon us. And that means that we are chosen to do something. That we are chosen to fulfill God's purposes in the world. We are chosen to continue the promise that God made to Abraham, that the chosen people would bless all of the people of the earth. There is nothing about being chosen people that allows us to sit back and relax. Quite the opposite. Being chosen people in Christ means that there are expectations placed upon us, that there is work to do. This morning, we are going to look at what it means to be a listening people. Living as Christmas people means that we are to be people who listen. In the last several weeks, months perhaps, maybe even longer than that, I've been doing a lot of thinking about listening and the importance of listening. I've been challenged and convicted to listen better to those around me, and perhaps especially to those with whom I might disagree. Maybe you can guess what has brought some of this up for me. And the fact that Friday is the day a new president is sworn into office in the U.S. even puts more of an emphasis on that in my mind. Over the past year especially, I have been increasingly aware that we as a culture, and this isn't just a U.S. thing, this translates over the border as well, that we're not particularly good at listening, unless it means listening to ourselves or to what we want to hear or to what we believe is best for us. We're good at listening to our own selfish desires, but not particularly good at listening to those who are different from us, those who have different experiences, to those who have different opinions, or those who have different needs. And not surprisingly, as is often the case when I am diving into a particular theme life. For my sermon upcoming, the topic of listening has come up in my world a lot this week. On Friday night, I went with six of our young adults down to UBC for a chapel service. It was a service that was put on jointly by the chapel folks. You've heard kind of periodically announcements about this chapel thing that some of our youth have been going to in the Lower Mainland over the last couple years. So it was partially put on by that organization and then by the Christian clubs, the various Christian clubs that are on the UBC campus. It was a really wonderful night of worship, of prayer, and a message from a youth pastor, Jonathan, from Vancouver, who is one of the leaders of this chapel movement. Throughout the whole night, perhaps because I was looking for it, I saw the importance of listening. One of the most impactful parts of the night was hearing three testimonies from three young women who were students at UBC who talked about God at work in their lives. But in all of their testimonies, they shared, whether they knew it or not, I knew it, about the importance of listening to God. One young woman talked about how, through her summer job going door to door trying to sell books, she was forced to spend time with God just listening. Time that she had never made room for before that. She said she would spend almost 13 hours a day going door to door trying to sell books. That's a lot of time to listen to God. And in that listening, her faith was transformed. Her relationship with God was transformed. It enlivened her to really live out what God was calling her to do on the UBC campus. Another one of the young women is a senior in the School of Business. She shared about the terrifying call she heard from God to help lead a revival in the School of Business at UBC. I'll admit that my experience going to a Christian university is much different than what this young woman must experience. My business professors were Christians. That was part of the deal for them to be teaching at a Christian university. And so to try to lead a revival in the business school at North Park University probably would not have been a particularly difficult thing. But to think about doing that at UBC is really incredible. And I get why that was terrifying for her. But she shared this vision and this what she heard from God with fellow students and faculty and started a Christian club focused in the business school at UBC because that's what she heard God telling her to do. And it has continued to grow since she has heard that and started that. Through these two young women, through Jonathan who preached, and even the young man who emceed for the night and led us through a prayer time at the end, I was reminded of perhaps the most important thing that I could be reminded of when it comes to listening. Listening to God is one clear way that we relinquish ourselves, one way we give up ourselves and acknowledge who God is. Like we talked about last week, listening, actively listening, is perhaps the first step in acknowledging that we are not the primary actors in the world, that God is. God is at work. God is working in our lives, and God is speaking to us. I was also reminded this week of a devotional given by Rich at our council meeting about almost 2 weeks ago. And he read for us from Jeremiah 6:16, which says, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, that you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." Crossroads come for us almost daily, don't they? Sometimes there are major crossroads that may mean big changes, jobs, homes, family, etc. More often, they're minor crossroads. Whether to speak to that person at work who bugs us, or to get angry at something a family member says or did to us. In all of that, God says, stop and look around, ask and listen. We're going to look this morning at a number of ways that God speaks as we learn how to listen. But before we do, let me pray for us. Lord God, this morning, I ask that you speak to us through your word. Help us to hear your voice and to listen to what you are telling us, that we might grow in relationship with you and be empowered to do your work in the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, we're going to look at Psalm 29. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, either for today or to keep, feel free to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring one to you. So Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. I can just imagine David sitting down to write this psalm, thinking about the way God's voice has spoken to him. David knowing that God's voice is even more powerful than he describes it, more powerful than the mighty waters, oceans, rivers, more powerful than mighty cedar trees, a voice that flashes with lightning and shakes the desert. And in all of this power gives strength to God's people, to his chosen. And by his voice, he blesses his people with peace. God's voice is mighty. It is powerful. We're forced to ask, are we willing to allow God's voice to have that kind of power in our lives? I'm going to turn now to Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I referenced this account of Jesus' baptism last week, but I think it's important to look at it again here when we're looking at the voice of God. Here we see a very different image of God's voice from what David just spoke about. Here we see God's voice that is personal. Perhaps it's even delicate. The Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And I like to think that God has enough understanding of good theater to not have a voice in that moment that totally contradicts a dove gracefully coming upon Jesus, and that the voice there matches exactly the image. And so we hear a voice from God that is full of grace and full of peace and full of love. a voice that indicates encouragement, pleasure. It's perhaps a warm voice that is also a voice that contains all of that power that we read about in Psalm 29. It has the power that launches Jesus on all of his ministry. During the community Bible experience, we looked at our next account from Acts of Peter's dream that leads him to Cornelius' house, a dream that completely changes the ministry to the Gentiles. Peter is one of many men and women that we read about all throughout Scripture who hear from God in dreams. And Peter listens to what God says in this dream, and he takes action. So I invite you to turn with me to Acts 10, verses 34 to 44. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Peter tells us a lot about how God speaks here. We see references to not only preaching the word of God, but the works, the incredible things that happened in Judea since Jesus was baptized. And while Peter doesn't say it explicitly, that last verse, verse 44, tells us that God uses people to speak his word. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. If that's not a message that is directly from God, well, then I'm not quite sure what is. Through all of these passages, and even into our reading earlier that Christian and Spencer gave us from Isaiah 42, we see the power of God's voice, the power to shake all of creation, the delicate descending like a dove upon Jesus. We read about God's voice working in dreams and through individuals who are carrying out his purposes in the world. We are introduced to a voice that takes hold of our hand and opens our eyes. God's voice is a voice, when we listen to it, changes us. When we listen. I think it's important to distinguish between just hearing and listening. And the best description I found of the difference between hearing and listening is actually from an English language learner's website. And it says, to hear is to physically experience the sense of sound. As long as one's ear and brain are capable of processing sound waves, one can hear. To listen is to deliberately apply the ability to hear. One who listens is thinking about what is heard, what it means, how to respond, and whether to continue to listen or pay attention. Being listening people requires more than simply the physical experience of sensing sound. And I would add to that, it means more than simply the visual sense of reading words on a page. Being listening people means applying what we hear, understanding it, understanding what it means and what we are meant to do with it. It means that we are changed by it, that it affects us and it affects everything that we do. But are we listening? Are you listening? The most important thing in listening is making the intentional decision to listen, to really listen to what God has for you, whether it's something you want or not. I'd also suggest that in our fast-paced and distraction-laden culture, we have to take some important steps to ready ourselves to make that intentional decision to listen to God. I am a person, if you may have seen on Facebook last night, who needs some sound kind of in the background, or in theory. In theory, I need sound in the background while I'm writing things. And I'm not so sure that that's always true, or whether I just like to have something going on to allow myself to be distracted. But if we're going to listen to God, we have to remove those distractions. And first, we have to make time for listening. Certainly, God can work outside our boundaries, but sometimes we cannot. Sometimes we put up our own boundaries that keep God out. And it's important to set up then rhythms to listen to God, to read Scripture, and then to simply wait and listen to what God has to say through the words of Scripture for you. And it's important to remove both external and internal distractions. Distractions like TV or phone or computer, or mental distractions, blockades we may put up where we make ourselves unwilling to listen. I think of a couple of years ago, I went to a retreat, and there was a speaker that I was unwilling to listen to, because I had heard some stories from other folks about things that he had done that I was not as comfortable with, and so I put up this blockade. And I said, God is not going to use this man to speak to me. And boy, did God do some things in my life to convict me of that. Because he had some great things to say. And as I have gotten to know him, he is a man who constantly is seeking after God's heart. But I had put up my own internal distraction from what God was trying to say in that moment. And we need to be aware of those and remove those from ourselves if we're going to listen to what God has to say to us. And it's also important, as we're listening, to test what you hear, to make sure that what you're hearing is from God, because Satan just loves to deceive, just loves to use that voice that sounds almost like God to deceive us. And there are some simple questions that we can ask. Does what I hear from God glorify Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior? And is what I hear biblical? And so it's also really important to share when we hear something from God, so that we invite other people into those questions, into that discerning process, but also so that we invite others into what God is doing in the world. God doesn't want what he's doing in your life to be a secret. Please share. Just before we get into the last little piece that I'm going to invite us into, I want to be very clear that there is not one set prescription for what listening to God looks like. You know yourself. You know how you operate, both how you listen and best how you distract yourself. You know what sins of yours can get in the way and how to give those to God so that you are prepared to listen to him. The most important step is to make the decision to actively listen. I realize that it could be foolish to spend all of this time talking about listening and the importance of listening and the way we are changed by God's voice in our lives without actually taking some time now to practice this, to spend at least a little bit of time actively listening. Listening in a way that acknowledges who it is we are listening to. And that listening, really listening, means that we are open to the fact that this may mean there is something required of us. I get that this may be uncomfortable for you. That's okay. That probably means it's really good for you. Try it. Listen. I'm going to offer up a question. And I'll give you a bit of time. For some of you, it will be way too much time. For others of you, it won't be even remotely enough time. But I'll give you some time to reflect on that question and then to listen to God. Reflect on the scripture that has been read this morning and listen to God. And then after these few questions, I will close our time in prayer and we'll continue in worship. My hope is that this one set of questions, this one instance, will be a catalyst for you to make space in your own life in a way that works best for you and for God to listen, to hear the Almighty, and to listen to what you are being told. So the first question I want you to prayerfully reflect on is, what am I happy about or grateful for right now, and why? The second question, what is something I regret or feel guilty about, and why? Ask, what am I worried about and why? As we heard in Jeremiah 6:16, what is the good way for me? What is the good way for me? And finally, ask, Lord, what is it you would like to say to me? What is it you need me to listen to? Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning for who you are, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for choosing us to be your people, for choosing us to do your work in this world. This morning, we are especially grateful for the gift of your voice, for the ways that you speak to us and to the world. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Help us to listen, and help us to live out what it is that you are calling us to do. We pray this all in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.